We're going to talk a little Toronto Blue Jays with Scotty MacArthur from TSN 1050, TSN.ca. Scotty, how are you?
Great, boys. How are you?
I am. I'm doing all right. I guess a little bit better than the start of the season for the Jays. Although I kind of thought they would be, you know, an 82 to 85 win team, and you know their record right around there right now. They've had a few games in hand, Scotty, where they've kind of let you know go by the wayside later on. Now, how much of a concern is that? How do they rectify that?
Well, I can answer the first part of that question very easily. I can't answer the second part of that question very easily. It's a huge concern. There's no doubt about that. They are not getting enough length out of their starting pitching, and they are relying on two very young kids in Roberto Osuna and Miguel Castro at the back end of the bullpen to help lock games down. Now, they've kind of juggled things and named Brett Cecil the closer, and Osuna and Aaron Loop are the righty-lefty matchup in the setup roles for the seventh and eighth innings, depending on matchups on a particular night. But it's been a real grind for this team, and I think the one thing that they would worry about is some of the losses that they've experienced can be quite demoralizing. I think if there are reasons for optimism, and maybe I'm stretching a little bit here, but if there are reasons for optimism, it's that the Blue Jays are not alone in the American League East in terms of teams that have issues. We just got to Cleveland from Boston, where the Red Sox are effectively a mirror image of the Blue Jays. They can hit a ton. They can't pitch either, although Porcello was good last night. And Bautista and Encarnacion have not gotten going yet.
Yeah.
And they're typically slow starters in April. The calendar flips tomorrow. And certainly from an offensive perspective, manager John Gibbons, the coaching staff, the front office are counting on those two getting it going.
Well, yeah, you got to swing the bats if the arms aren't getting it done. When I look at this roster from afar, specifically the pitching staff, it strikes me that there's a big difference between hoping your arms can get it done and knowing that they can. While there might be some bumps, you believe that they can. I don't know that you can have that faith in the staff. How about you?
Well, you know, they're at a real, it's a really complicated and weird situation that's going on here. You've got a president who's on his way out the door at the end of the season, or at least we've all been led to believe that. I suppose we should never say never about anything with this organization. And if Paul Beeston's days are numbered, what does that mean for the general manager? And then what does that mean for the manager and the coaching staff? And they've got this core of positional players, and I'm speaking mostly, obviously, about Bautista, Encarnacion, and Donaldson, who, given their age, the fact that they're all in varying degrees of their prime, Bautista would be toward the end of his because he's 34, Donaldson would be entering his at 28, Encarnacion would be in the middle at 31, going on 32. These guys are in a position to win now.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they're maximizing their talent. But from a staff perspective, a pitching staff perspective, you've got two guys on the other side of the hill in Burley and Dickey who effectively are, you know, six inning guys kind of in that 100 pitch range. I know knuckleballers can go deeper, but Dickey throws this pitch that is completely untrustworthy. And we've seen that over the course of his 2+ years in Toronto. He can be going really, really well, and then it can just all fall apart, or one pitch leads to a mistake like last night with Hanley Ramirez hitting a two-run home run to break a 1-1 tie, and the Jays were never able to catch up. Throws this untrustworthy pitch, so you never really know what you're going to get. And then on the other side of that, you got Daniel Norris and Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, who went down. You've got Osuna, and you've got Castro, and you've got their first-round pick from last year, Jeff Hoffman, who they're already talking about possibly joining the big league team later this season. There's Matt Smorell, there's Matt Boyd, all of these young pitching that could be great guys in 2 or 3 years, but maybe the club is asking a little too much of them right now. And so
exactly,
you've got this positional roster that's built to win now, but the pitching that looks more toward the future, and it's quite bright. It's a hopeful future, but I'm not so sure the entire roster meshes. And I think that's what we're seeing.
One major bright spot has been the play of second baseman Devin Travis. He's already got 6 home runs. I think the Jays had 7 or 8 home runs from all of the second base players last season. You know, he is. You know, he's hitting with a lot of power. I was looking at his stats, and in the minors, he's never been a big long ball hitter. I think the most he had was 16 home runs. So is this just a short stint, and likely this is a guy who maybe finishes with 14 or 15, or is he just looking like a guy who's maybe a better major league baseball player than he is in the minors?
Well, I'd be stunned if he's a 30 home run hitter. He can't even tell me. I asked him where his power is coming from, but I think. You know, the one thing that stands out about him in a lineup full of free swingers, and especially so because Encarnacion, as an example, is a guy who, when he is struggling, starts to go out of the strike zone, swinging at bad pitches and getting himself into trouble, striking himself out sometimes. The thing with Travis is, man, he's 5'7", 5'8", so his strike zone is already smaller than most guys.
Yeah,
he's got a terrific eye, so he's very rarely off the plate. I mean, he forces that pitcher to come in on him. And he's getting a lot of good pitches to hit because he's been batting 1 or 2, and they don't want to put him on in advance of Bautista and Encarnacion. Pitchers don't, and that's totally understandable. But he's got such a compact strike zone, he's got such a keen eye, and he's got such a compact swing, and he's willing to use all fields. I mean, you see these guys who struggle so often, they get so pull-happy, and they're trying to grip it and rip it, just focused on trying to break out of their offer, whatever they're up to. And Travis is a guy who seems to me, I don't think he's going to be that prototypical power hitter, but I think he's going to be the type who's going to be able to avoid long slumps just because he's got such a good eye, and has, as I said, that compact swing and strike zone. And I mean, as strange as it may sound, he's 24 years old. He came out of Florida State University, so it's not like he's a 21-year-old. He's an older rookie at 24. He's the best hitter on the team right now, hands down. And, there have been teams, the Orioles and the Rays, who have seen him twice, so you get a bit of a video report, a bit of a scouting report, and they haven't been able to find a way to get him consistently out. So it'll be interesting to see if he can carry this over. He looks like a guy who can avoid some of those prolonged downturns.
Scott, long way to go, obviously, and the Jays, as we mentioned, not off to a great start. Cleveland's no great shakes either. Do they got a chance to maybe turn around a slow start here?
Well, you'd think, but the problem, I mean, the Jays will face, especially starting tomorrow, they'll get Carlos Carrasco tomorrow. They'll get the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber on Saturday, and they'll get Trevor Bauer on Sunday. And those guys, and Bauer's off to a nice start. But if you look at Carrasco's and Kluber's numbers, win loss ERA, not so hot off the hop. But if you go into some of the more advanced stats like fielding independent pitching, strikeouts per 9 innings, strikeout percentage, stuff like that, there's some electricity in that Indians rotation. And so Toronto has struggled against some elite pitching so far this year because, getting back to what I said before, a lot of free-swinging bats, 1 through 9 in that lineup. They would like to come in and do some damage. I think tonight's a big game. T.J. House is on the mound as a left-hander who struggled mightily for Cleveland here in the early going. Every series is an opportunity to do some damage, but they got to pitch. The Jays have to pitch. And if they don't start pitching better, more consistently, you can't ask your offense to score 8, 9, 10 runs a night. I mean, in their 10 wins, guys, I think they're averaging about 8.5 runs per game. And there have been some nights where they've needed every single bit of that. So the key is going to be not so much who they're facing on the mound from Cleveland, but what they're throwing out there, and Ken Daniel Norris and Mark Burley, Aaron Sanchez, and Drew Hutchison on Sunday in this 4-game series. Can those guys start to consistently give them innings, effective innings, rest that bullpen a little bit, and let guys slot into their roles?
Scott, always appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the season. Obviously, a long way to go, and the good news for the Jays, despite being only 10-12, they are only 3 games out in the AL East. Doesn't look like anybody, at least early anyway, is set to run away with it. So if they can get some hitting going and maybe some average pitching, they'll be right in it.
Yeah, no doubt. Every team in this division has warts, but what's interesting to me, and I know they've dominated the Jays, so maybe it skews my opinion, guys, but when you look at Tampa Bay's starting rotation and you think about them getting Alex Cobb back and that young left-hander Matt Moore back from Tommy John surgery probably in June or July, and you add that to Drew Smyly, Jake Odorizzi, and Chris Archer, 1 through 5, I mean, there is not a better rotation in the American League East, maybe not in the American League, and potentially not in baseball. So, well, maybe in Washington. But, I mean, that's a young team, young pitching, and we all had them dead last in the AL East this year. They may come around and surprise. This is a very available division.
Scott, appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.